Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me for the latest European Pensions podcast. I'm Natalie Tuck, editor of European Pensions, and today I am joined by a man who you might all be familiar with as the CEO of the Irish Association of Pension Funds. However, today that man, Mr. Gerry Moriarty, has his Pensions Europe hat on as the chair of the European Association. So, welcome, Gerry. Firstly, how are you?
I'm very good, Natalie. Nice to talk to you.
That's great, and we are very privileged to have you join us today. So, as I mentioned, many people in the industry will know you as IAPF CEO, but you've also been involved with Pensions Europe for many years. Can you tell us about your work there and how you came to be elected as chair of the association in November last year?
Yes, I joined the board of Pensions Europe in 2012, just at the time actually the change from being European Federation of Retirement Provision to Pensions Europe. Ireland has been, the IPF has been a member of Pensions Europe for quite some time. I think they were probably one of the founding members. Pensions Europe is a association of pensions associations based in Brussels. We have 24 member associations from 18 EU countries and three other European countries. In total, those associations look after pensions for 90 million people, covering about 5 trillion in assets. And we also have corporate supporter members who are service providers, organizations based in Brussels. And primarily, the function is to advocate on behalf of those member associations in Brussels and increasingly in Frankfurt as well, with both the European institutions and EIOPA. And certainly for countries, small countries like Ireland, where so much of our legislation comes from Brussels now, it's important that we can sort of lobby on that and be involved in it at its preparation stage, rather than just having to deal with it when it comes in. And us being a small association, we wouldn't have the resource to have somebody working permanently in Brussels, for example. So having, being a member of an association can do that on our behalf is very helpful and very important to us. In terms of how I got elected, I'm not quite sure how that happened. But obviously I've been on the board for some time, so it was quite a privilege actually to chair the board. Obviously, Ireland being a small country, it's important that small countries have a say as well, I think. And there have been two previous Irish chairs, so I'm very proud to follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, definitely. And so, what does your role as chair entail?
I suppose the role of the chair, like when you've been on the board of something for quite some time, stepping up to be the chairperson isn't hugely different. There's a lot more in terms of pulling things together, probably a lot more in terms of dealing with Matti Lepala as the CEO. We've touched base a lot in terms of preparing for board meetings, or being a sounding board for Matti and for the other board directors as well. Obviously, the role of the board is working on the strategy of the organization, ensuring that strategy is implemented. But also, we feed in a lot to the policy positions that the organization is taking. There is a lot going on in Europe at the moment, so it's quite demanding in that way.
Yeah, definitely. And how long will your term as chair last?
We don't have a fixed term for chair. I certainly see it as being probably a 2, maybe maximum 3 year, because I think it's important that these things are passed on. It works on a year-to-year basis. So if the organization are happy to re-elect me in a year's time, then I would be happy to do it. But I think it's something that ideally should be a 2-3 year term.
Yes, yeah. And so, what are the key areas you would like Pensions Europe to focus on during your tenure?
I mean, it's less about what I'd like. I think a lot of the key issues are issues that are out there anyway, and that we do need to look at. We do a lot of thinking about shaping the future of pensions, and particularly, I think, with aging populations across Europe, the role that funded pensions, particularly because that's, the area we look after, can play in making sure that as we deal with aging populations, that people can have good retirements. Obviously, aging populations put a lot of stress and pressure on the traditional pay-as-you-go systems that form most social security systems. And, we're finding increasingly that people need supplementary savings in order to make sure they have that kind of retirement that most people are going to enjoy and deserve. So we're doing a lot of work on that. We're also doing a lot of work in the DC space because you're seeing a lot of transition to DC, or in particularly a lot of the newer DC countries that are newer members to us and are putting in a lot of DC systems as well. So that is one area that we're focusing on. Even this week, we're publishing a publication on the road DC, which is about understanding the shift and understanding the vast range of DC across Europe. There are also some other issues such as the IRAP2 review. EIOPA has provided its advice to the European Commission. Capital Markets Union is going to be a huge focus of the next European Parliament and Commission. There's a lot of stuff going on around sustainable finance. And then you've got things like the Digital Operational Resilience Act, DORA, FIDA, which is financial data, looking at sort of open data, which may or may not involve pension funds. PEP, which is the Pan-European Personal Pension, which unfortunately hasn't really taken off in any great way. That would be reviewed to see how that could be made, possibly made to be a success. Yes. There's some issues around pensions tracing, withholding tax. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on, which we need to respond to, but then it's by trying to be proactive as well.
Yeah. And you listed some of the kind of legislation and the consultations that are coming out of Europe at the moment. What do you think are the key ones that pension funds really need to be thinking about?
I think DORA is a really big one. That is looking at how pension funds protect their financial data, ensuring systems are adequate. It's one of the issues we're finding is that as well as the pensions legislation, such as the IRAP legislation, which is geared towards pension funds, and a lot of work goes in to make sure it's appropriate, that it's proportionate. Mm. A lot of other legislation, which is aimed at financial institutions, is also now including pension funds. And pension funds vary in that, well, they have a financial aspect, but many of them are really social institutions that have been set up by social partners in many countries, by employers to provide provision for their employees. So they're not the same as financial organizations that are marketing products to clients. But a lot of times, same rules are being applied, and that is becoming a problem. So, you know, a lot of legislation that is intended to deal with a large financial institution can also catch up in a relatively small pension fund. And we need to just try and ensure there's proportionality around that. But I think DORA is a really big one. It comes into effect in January next year. But a lot of the detailed requirements aren't going to be published until during the summer. So there's going to be a sort of timeline aspect to that. Yeah. And then a lot of the sustainable finance, you know, there's a review of the SFDR regulations. So a lot of that's going to be important. And then I think the IRAP2 review is going to be important as well. But because we're at that kind of changeover point where, you know, the European elections will take place in June, it will take a bit of time for the new Commission and Parliament to get up and running. So a lot of this will probably be more 2025 rather than 2024 issues.
Yeah, and of course, the European elections, which you just mentioned there, coming up in June. I mean, what does the Association want to see from a new European Commission? Is it that, you know, more thoughtfulness towards pension funds when they're coming up with this legislation that affects them kind of indirectly, I guess?
I think so. I think we do want to see, you know, we do understand there's got to be a lot of focus on funded pensions. Like I said earlier, you know, we're seeing aging populations. We're seeing a lot of pressure on the traditional social security systems. You know, if they operated on a funded pay-as-you-go basis, where you now have a really big shift in the balance between the number of pensioners and the number of workers you have in the economy, that impacts how those can be funded over the long term. So a lot of countries do see more funded pensions as part of that solution. So I think we need regulation that balances proper protection of people's retirement savings, but also encouraging pension provision and making it easier for people to do. Do you think there needs to be a bit of focus on financial literacy, making sure people understand the need to save for retirement and the need to have a good framework within which they can do that? Obviously, there are huge issues about gender gap. That's obviously probably more a labour market issue, but it does also feed into pension savings as well. And women do tend to have much lower pensions than men. And obviously, fixing the labour market issues would address that, but there are probably good practices and good things that pension funds can do as well. So I think there will be quite a bit of focus on that. Yeah. But probably that bigger issue is just making sure you deal with the ageing populations and the role that funded pensions can play within that.
Yeah, definitely. I was writing about that just yesterday, actually, because obviously Finland has a funded system, and it was saying, actually, you know, Europe could use that as an example. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there in the future.
Yes, and I think there's clearly going to be a huge amount of focus on the Capital Markets Union as well. So, you know, Europe has a lot of need for investment, particularly in things like climate transition. Mm-hmm. I think quite often they look at pension funds as having a lot of funding available. So looking at ways which you can bring those two together. I think you need to remember that pension funds have $5 trillion to invest. That is made up of the individual savings of lots of individual people. So pension funds have a very strong responsibility to make sure they get invested in the right way and it's invested appropriately. But I'm sure there are ways where you can bring those two together because pension funds are long-term investors. They do want to invest for the long term. And obviously investing long term that can help the European economy to grow there've got to be synergies there that I think we need to explore.
Definitely. And you mentioned, you know, Pensions Europe is made up, was it 24 member associations, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. So 24 member associations kind of all working together. How important is that collaboration for the development of pensions policy?
I think it's really important because, you know, while systems are very different and even how they link in with social security systems is very different, everybody's trying to achieve the same thing to ensure that people can have good retirements. So I think what we can learn from each other is really important, but also coming together and understanding the differences we have, but also really working towards that common objective is a way of achieving the things we want to achieve. And like I said, ultimately to make sure that people can have good retirements, which is really important to all of us.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jerry, for taking the time to speak to me today. Always insightful as ever. Thank you to everyone listening in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.